A few years ago, one of the world's best-known atheists, Christopher Hitchens, died of cancer. But did he die as an atheist? A new book provides evidence that perhaps he may have been open to the gospel by the end of his life. Perhaps. The book is by Larry Alex Taunton, a minister who knew Hitchens personally. And the book is called The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome to our program author Larry Alex Taunton. His website, by the way, is at LarryAlexTaunton.com for more information on the book and other projects. Larry, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
Okay, so first question is the title itself, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Don't you mean the unbelief or the lack of faith of Christopher Hitchens?
No, I don't, and I don't for this reason, Jerry. Everybody lives according to some kind of faith. Now, that faith might be in Bernie Sanders, it might be in Hillary Clinton, it might be in Donald Trump, the stock market, or in Jesus Christ, but everybody is putting their faith in something. And this book explores exactly what Christopher Hitchens' faith was in, because you see, the standard interpretation of Christopher Hitchens' life, I mean, the thing that he was best known for was for his atheism. But as I argue in this book, as somebody who knew him and knew him rather well, somebody who studied the Bible with him, who took the lengthy road trips with him, who debated him on stage, what you soon discover is that if Christopher Hitchens is a lock, the atheist key doesn't work because the tumblers don't line up with that interpretation. And so the question becomes, well, then what was his faith in?
And the answer is?
Well, you got to read the book, Jerry.
Oh, okay. First of all, let me say this. Yeah.
Let me so that I don't leave you utterly hanging. In this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, which interestingly enough, Jerry, this is remarkable. Not only has Ravi Zacharias and best-selling author and syndicated radio show host Eric Metaxas strongly endorsed this book, but two nights ago I was on Hardball, MSNBC's Hardball, and Chris Matthews called this book beautiful, mm-hmm. and he said everyone must read this book. Mm. I don't know how often the planets align like.
Yeah, no, that's
that.
True. And you have an atheist, in fact.
Unusual.
Yeah, there's an atheist that endorsed it too. Here's a quote from Ravi Zacharias, though. Quote: "In the end, Larry demonstrates that while arguments and debates have their place in winning the minds and hearts, it is love that is the most powerful apologetic for the truth and the beauty of the gospel." Now, let me quote from your book and have you comment on this. Okay, the normal thing, scenario that's said is that basically Christopher Hitchens died a confident atheist, the end. In his private book, however, and you're not talking about an actual book when you say that, I assume, in his private
it's
book,
a metaphor.
Okay, he was making several significant revisions and was contemplating still more. There is no denying that at the time of his death, Christopher was, as now, best known for his atheism. But Christopher did not die the leftist radical of his youth or the militant atheist of his adulthood. Christopher Hitchens was a searcher. Okay, comment on that, those passages quoted from.
Christopher Hitchens made his fame, his name, his fortune as a blasphemer, really. His book, his best-selling book, God is Not Great, you know, how religion poisons everything. This is what Christopher was known for. But Christopher used a metaphor in referring to himself. This isn't my metaphor. It's not even his, but it's one that he used liberally in referring to himself. He said that he was a man of two books. And what he meant by that, it's actually a reference to, the metaphor is a reference to fraudulent accounting. You know, that there's a public book, and then there's the private book where you see what the real balance is. You know, it's a kind of Enron sort of bookkeeping.
Sure. Okay.
And the public book of Christopher was the confident, flame-throwing atheist. The private book was very different. Christopher, away from the stage, away from his fans especially, away from the cameras, Christopher was different. And by that, I don't mean that he wasn't an atheist. Rather, what I mean is that, Christopher wasn't defined by his atheism, because Christopher was quite intelligent enough to know that atheism, as he himself said publicly, in other words, you don't have to take my word for it. You can find it in the public record. Christopher said that atheism in and of itself was nothing. And he said, I say this joylessly, gloomily, pessimistically. And after Christopher wrote God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything, in 2007, and that book became a bestseller, part of Christopher's marketing strategy for that book was he told his publisher, issue a challenge on my behalf that I will debate religious people anytime, anywhere. Well, Muslims didn't take him up on that, and Mormons didn't take him up on that, and very few Jews took him up on that, but evangelical Christians took him up on that with relish, and I was one of them. And Christopher, for the first time in his life, was engaging with evangelicals, and he discovered that the Manhattan, D.C. Beltway caricature of who these people were who lived in the so-called red states or in so-called flyover America.
And in the South.
Country, mm-hmm. And especially in the South, were not exactly what he thought them to be. And he developed very warm friendships with them, with me, with a celebrated evangelical Christian and geneticist, Francis Collins, Douglas Wilson, even his brother, who's not from America, but Peter Hitchens, the well-known journalist in the UK. This took on an added sense of urgency, Jerry, when Christopher was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, something that he knew to be a death sentence. And it was after his diagnosis with cancer that he took two very lengthy road trips with me in which we studied the Bible together, because I had challenged Christopher to a study of the Gospel of John. And what do you know, he finally agreed to do it, and we did it as we drove through the Shenandoah Valley, and then a month later as we drove through Yellowstone National Park. And what I discovered in that is that Christopher was contemplating, I believe, a broader defection than the political one he made in 2001.
Okay, the political one being that he sided more with George W. Bush after 9/11,
right.
More with the George W. Bush as opposed to liberal perspective on that. Okay, so tell us more about this Bible study, because that does not seem characteristic. I mean, in other words, he seems like he was closed-minded. I mean, I remember when Jerry Falwell died, he just had some of the most unkind things I've ever heard of anybody.
He said, I regret there's not a hell for him to burn in.
He said he regretted that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, Christopher, here's an interesting thing, though, Jerry, about Christopher, and you have to pay close attention to Christopher's life or you'll miss it. And these are things that I lay out in this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, which is available as of 2 days ago. It's available in bookstores everywhere, that is, everywhere that it hasn't already sold out in the United States, as well as on Amazon.
And while you're giving the commercial, we might as well go ahead and say that you can get more information at LarryAlexTaunton, TAUNTON.com. Enough of the commercial. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. You would miss this. You see, Christopher, at the end of his life, became an unlikely defender of the faith. Now, before your jaw hits the mic, in front
what
of
faith?
You, Jerry.
Okay, yes.
Let me explain. Christopher went after, just as you noted, he went after guys like Jerry Falwell. He went after Al Sharpton. He went after, Jimmy Swaggart, people like this. Not to say that they're all the same, but the point is, in his mind, they were all the same. And he said the most awful things about them. And in the case of Al Sharpton, and I record this in this book, he told me he thought Al Sharpton was an atheist. He said, I don't think that guy any more believes in God than I do, Larry. So he sought to go after a guy like that. But when I debated him, we debated hard on the issues, but it was never personal. And then when Christopher and I sat down in the book jacket, I think this is on the book jacket, when Christopher and I sat down for an interview, a television interview where we were being asked about our friendship, Christopher was asked the question, you know, hey, what do you think of this guy, Larry Taunton? And I braced Jerry for the worst. And Christopher said, if everyone in the United States had the same qualities of loyalty and care and concern for others that Larry Taunton had, we'd be living in a much better society than we do. Mm-hmm. Now, how can you square a comment, such a gracious comment, a comment that moved me? Mm-hmm. How can you square a comment like that with, you know, his vitriol that was dumped out on guys like Jerry Falwell? Well, it wasn't because I compromised what I believed. It was rather because Christopher had arrived at the conclusion that my faith was very real. And so the next day when we were driving through, we just debated each other and he just made that comment. We're driving through through Yellowstone together. And I say, Christopher, you know, we debated each other last night. Just out of curiosity, how do you go about preparing for debate? And he said, well, you know, when I was at Oxford University, I was part of the Oxford Debating Society, the Oxford Union. And I had very formal training in debate. And I have three rules in debate, and they are these. Know the other man. Know the other man's position. Know why he holds that position. And then the third rule is determine whether or not you want to destroy the man or the argument. And I said, Christopher, wow. You know, why didn't you try to destroy me on stage? I mean, you went after my arguments, but you didn't attack me personally. And he didn't hesitate. He said, well, that's simple. You believe it. So Christopher had concluded that I genuinely believe in the Christian faith. I genuinely believe in Jesus Christ. And he knew that I was pursuing his soul, not as some trophy, not as an argument to be won, but because I believe there is a heaven and a hell. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Christopher was moving irresistibly towards a meeting with God in eternity. And I wanted him to arrive at that place with his soul right with his God. And so this was the nature of our conversation. And in this sense, Jerry, Christopher had become this an unlikely defender of the faith.
Well, how is he a defender of the faith? I mean, I don't get that. I mean, I understand everything you're saying. I understand what you're saying about the building the bridge of love. And, you know, by the way, Paul is such a great example. The Apostle Paul, Acts 17, you know, he goes around, he sees all these religious idols and things like that. And he says to the Athenians, I see you're very religious. Oh, you even have this altar to the unknown God. Well, let me explain to you about that unknown God. I know about him. And then he uses that building a bridge. And I commend you for, you know, building a bridge of friendship with one of the best known atheists of our time. God bless you for that. How did he receive when he would hear things from the Gospel of John? Did any of it seem to come into his heart? And it was like, oh,
sure.
That's different.
Let me answer your first comment, which was an objection to the notion of him as being a defender of the faith. I don't mean it in the formal sense. I mean, defending the faith is what I do for a living. I don't mean it quite in that sense, but I mean that Christopher had become an unlikely defender of the faith because, Jerry, he affirmed authentic Christianity, what he deemed to be authentic Christianity when he encountered it, and he assailed ruthlessly what he considered to be counterfeit versions of it.
Okay, so in the case of Falwell, he thought Falwell was a hypocrite, and that's why he was ruthless toward him. Okay, go on. All right.
Yes, and he thought the same of Al Sharpton. He thought the same of Swaggart. He thought the same of, you know, the religious authorities in Iran.
All right. Now we're almost out of time. We're almost out of time. So tell me more about the Gospel of John and Christopher Hitchens, because that's fascinating.
Well, you have to.
Didn't know until we saw the book.
Yeah, sure. You have to picture this. We're driving through the Shenandoah Valley, and here I am, the evangelical Christian, and there he is sitting in the passenger seat of my car with a Johnny Walker Black Label Scotch squeezed between his knees. And his reading glasses perched on the end of his nose, and he's reading aloud from the Gospel of John.
Wow.
It's almost a surreal kind of thing. And this went on for hours as we studied the Gospel of John for hours. And it led us to a very interesting place where I think Christopher arrived in a moment of decision. Did he believe or did he not?
And the answer is?
Well, the answer is you got to read the book.
Oh, okay. And with that, we'll have to close. Again, LarryAlexTaunton.com for more information. The name of the book is The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. Larry, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye.